This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the conversation pre-mortem to prepare your team for high-stakes synergy moments. A practical pre-conversation tool that protects team synergy when pressure peaks. In short, after reading this, you will know how to run a full conversation pre-mortem with your team before any high-stakes synergy moment. Identify the specific failure points most likely to fracture your team's cohesion under pressure. Build a shared response plan so everyone moves as a unit, not as individuals reacting alone. Use strategic preparation to replace anticipatory anxiety with real, grounded confidence. Definition: a conversation pre-mortem is a structured preparation technique where a team anticipates what could go wrong in a high-stakes exchange before it occurs, then builds a shared response plan to protect collective momentum and team synergy. When pressure peaks, I've watched a capable team fall apart in under 5 minutes. Not because they lacked skill, not because they did not care. They walked into a high-stakes client review without a shared plan, and the first hard question from across the table sent each person retreating into self-preservation mode. The conversation pre-mortem could have prevented every bit of it. Most teams skip preparation because they confuse familiarity with readiness. They know the project. They know each other. They assume that is enough. But team synergy under pressure is not about knowing your material. It is about knowing what your team will do when the moment turns difficult and having the shared language to hold together when it does. Without that, even experienced teams fracture at precisely the wrong time. The deeper problem is anticipatory anxiety. Each person privately dreads the worst-case scenario, but says nothing, which means the team enters the room carrying unshared fear. That fear does not disappear when the conversation starts. It surfaces as hesitation, contradiction, and withdrawal, right when unity is most needed. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for using the conversation pre-mortem with your team that you can apply before your next critical exchange. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce this technique in Chapter 3 as one of the most reliable tools for building the kind of unshakable confidence that holds a team together under pressure. You can explore the full framework at Say It Right Every Time. Why building team synergy under pressure is harder than it looks. You know your team is capable. You have seen what they can do. And yet, something shifts when the stakes go up and the very cohesion you rely on day to day seems to dissolve at the worst possible moment. That gap between what you know and what you can do under pressure is real, and it deserves acknowledgement before we get to solutions. Pressure changes thinking before you notice it. The amygdala hijack, which I cover in detail in What is the Amygdala Hijack, and how it silently blocks team synergy in high-pressure moments, causes people to narrow their focus and default to self-protection. When this happens individually across a whole team, collective coherence is the first casualty. Team synergy requires coordinated trust, not just individual competence. A room full of capable individuals is not a team in synergy. Synergy emerges when people move as a unit, read each other's signals, and support rather than compete during difficulty. And shared anxiety fractures teams silently. When each person privately anticipates failure, but does not voice it, the team enters every high-stakes conversation carrying different, invisible fears. Those fears produce contradictory reactions under pressure. Most teams prepare content, not connection. They rehearse what they will say, but never rehearse how they will handle disagreement, pushback, or unexpected turns together. This is exactly why team synergy breaks down during high-pressure projects. Recovery from a misstep requires a shared script. When one person stumbles, the rest of the team needs to know how to hold the space without abandoning them. Without preparation, the instinct is every person for themselves. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation, what you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, a specific conversation identified. The conversation pre-mortem is not a general team exercise. It needs a real, upcoming, high-stakes exchange as its target: a leadership presentation, a conflict resolution meeting, a difficult client negotiation. Without a specific conversation to prepare for, the exercise stays abstract and produces nothing useful. Number two, honest participation from key voices. Every person who will be in the room for the actual conversation needs to be present for the pre-mortem. If you prepare without the full team, you leave gaps in your shared plan. The people most likely to feel pressure are the most important to include, and the most often left out of preparation. Number 3. Permission to name the hard things. The pre-mortem only works if people feel safe enough to say, "I'm worried about this going wrong." If your team culture punishes honesty about vulnerability, you will need to establish that safety explicitly before starting. That means you, as the person leading this process, go first. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Name the moment and its stakes. This step anchors the pre-mortem in reality rather than abstraction. Start by bringing the team together and identifying the specific conversation you are preparing for. Be precise about when it happens, who will be there, and what outcome matters most to your collective success. Vague preparation produces vague confidence. Naming the exact moment produces the kind of grounded readiness that holds under pressure. Write the conversation's purpose in a single sentence and read it aloud to the group. Identify the 2 or 3 outcomes that would constitute success for the team as a whole, not for individuals. Name the single outcome that would constitute failure, the one everyone privately fears but rarely says out loud. Confirm who from your team will be in the room and what role each person is expected to play. Set a time limit for the pre-mortem itself so the preparation does not become its own source of anxiety. Here is how this sounds in practice. The team leader opens. "We have a project review on Thursday with the senior leadership group. The outcome that matters is that they leave confident in our direction. The outcome we cannot afford is walking out of that room with our credibility damaged or our timeline questioned. Let's prepare for both possibilities together." That is enough to give the whole exercise direction and weight. After this step, your team is no longer preparing in isolation. You are preparing as a unit, with a shared understanding of what you are walking into. Step 2. Map the failure points. This is where the pre-mortem does its most important work. Ask the team directly, "What could go wrong in this conversation?" Invite every voice, especially the quieter ones who often carry the most accurate instincts about risk. The goal is a complete map of the specific moments most likely to fracture your team's synergy under pressure: an unexpected question, a disagreement between 2 team members in front of others, a person going blank, an emotional reaction that derails the thread. List every failure point on a shared surface where the whole team can see it. Include both external risks, a hostile question from outside the team, and internal ones, a team member contradicting another. Do not dismiss any concern as unlikely. Probability comes in the next step. Aim for 6 to 10 specific failure points. If you have fewer than 4, you're not being honest enough. Ask specifically, "What is the moment where our team is most likely to stop acting as a unit?" This is the part of preparation most teams skip because it feels uncomfortable. Naming what could go wrong forces you to sit with vulnerability. But as I write and say it right every time, conversation anxiety is not a stop sign. It is a green light. Information telling you where preparation is needed. Once the failure points are on the table, your team has already done something most teams never do. You have made the private fear shared, and that alone begins to dissolve their power. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments. The ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Assess likelihood and priority. Not every failure point deserves equal attention. This step gives your team a clear sense of where to focus. Go through the list from step 2 and ask the team to rate each failure point high probability, moderate probability, or low probability. You are not predicting the future. You are building a shared sense of where the real risks lie, so your preparation time goes where it matters most. Mark every high probability failure point with a clear signal so the group can see the priority tier immediately. Ask, "If this happened, how much would it damage our collective position?" Some low probability risks carry high damage. Those deserve attention regardless of likelihood. Narrow the group's focus to the top 3 or 4 failure points that combine probability and impact. Confirm with the full team that the prioritized list reflects reality, not just the loudest voice in the room. Here is a concrete example. Your team identifies 8 potential failure points. 2 are rated high probability, a challenge to your timeline, and a moment where 2 team members are likely to give contradictory answers on scope. 1 is rated low probability, but high impact a question that none of you can answer confidently. Those three become your preparation focus. The rest are acknowledged and set aside. This step ensures your energy goes where it will most protect your team synergy, not where the anxiety happens to be loudest. Step 4. Build the shared response plan. This is where preparation becomes a genuine tool. For each prioritized failure point, your team creates a specific, agreed response, not a vague intention, a clear, rehearsed plan that every person in the room understands and can support. When the moment arrives in the actual conversation, no one is improvising alone. You are executing a shared plan, and that coherence is exactly what team synergy looks like under pressure. Assign a primary responder for each failure point the person best placed to answer or de-escalate. Write a short script for the two highest priority scenarios. It does not need to be word perfect. It needs to be directionally clear. Agree on what the rest of the team does while the primary responder handles the moment. Stay quiet, offer visible support, take notes. Build in a recovery phrase the whole team knows. Something as simple as, "Let us make sure we address that properly. Can we take 30 seconds to align on this as a team?" Rehearse the top two scenarios aloud with the actual people who will be in the room. This kind of preparation connects directly to what I call the confidence competence loop in Chapter 3 of Say It Right. Every time practice builds competence, small successes build confidence, and that confidence drives better practice. Your team earns its composure through rehearsal, not through hope. Step 5. Prepare the recovery script. Even the best pre-mortem cannot prevent everything. This step prepares your team to recover when something goes wrong anyway. In Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe a 3-step mistake recovery process. Acknowledge, correct, move on. This sequence works as well for teams as it does for individuals. When a team member stumbles, contradicts themselves, or loses their thread, the rest of the team needs to know how to hold the space rather than let the moment collapse into silence or chaos. Agree on a signal that tells the team someone needs support, a hand gesture, a specific phrase, a deliberate pause. Practice the acknowledge step the person or team says clearly, "That did not come out as intended. Let me restate." Practice the correct step the primary responder or a supporting team member offers the clearer version without amplifying the error. Practice the move on step the team returns to the main thread with confidence, without dwelling on the misstep. Confirm that no one on the team will reflexively abandon a colleague who stumbles. Solidarity in recovery is part of the plan. Here is how the recovery script sounds in practice. A team member gives an answer that contradicts the earlier position. The team leader says calmly, "I want to make sure we are giving you the clearest picture. What my colleague meant is this: we have committed to the original timeline, and the flexibility we are describing applies only to phase 2. Then the team moves forward. No apology spiral. No visible panic. Just acknowledge, correct, move on. After this step, your team is not just prepared for the conversation. They are prepared to recover from it, which is often more impressive than a flawless performance. Step 6. Align on nonverbal signals and team positioning. What your team communicates without words is as important as what they say out loud. Nonverbal confidence, the way your team holds itself collectively in the room, contributes directly to how others perceive your synergy and your credibility. If half the team is leaning back with crossed arms while one person speaks, the room reads division even when the words say unity. This step ensures your team's physical presence reinforces the prepared position. Agree that everyone maintains an open, forward posture while the primary speaker holds the floor. Establish that no one on the team visibly reacts with surprise or discomfort to an unexpected question, even if they feel it. Confirm that eye contact is directed at the person asking, not at other team members seeking reassurance. Agree on a simple acknowledgement gesture so the team knows when to hold steady and when to step in. Discuss where each person will sit or stand, and how that positioning supports the overall impression of a unified team. Power posture is not about performance. It is about bringing your body into alignment with the confidence your preparation has already earned. Your team has done the work. How you stand and sit should reflect that. Step 7. Debrief after the conversation. The pre-mortem is not complete until you close the loop. Within 24 hours of the actual conversation, bring the team back together for a brief debrief. Not to judge, not to assign blame, but to harvest what you learned so the next pre-mortem is sharper. This is the step that builds the confidence-competence loop over time, turning each experience into material for the next preparation cycle. Ask, Which failure points did we anticipate correctly? Ask. Which failure points did we miss entirely? Ask. Which part of our response plan worked, and which part did not hold under real pressure? Acknowledge anyone who executed the recovery process well. Name it specifically. Vague praise does not build skill. Update your shared understanding of where your team's synergy is strong and where it still needs work. Teams that debrief consistently get sharper at the pre-mortem process with each cycle. What feels effortful the first time becomes natural preparation before long. That is the quiet, practical way that team synergy strengthens over time, not through grand declarations, but through small, repeated acts of honest reflection. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote and hybrid teams face a specific challenge. With the conversation pre-mortem, the shared physical space that makes alignment feel natural is simply not there. Replace proximity with structure. In a physical room, a team can read each other's body language and self-correct in real time. Online, that ambient awareness disappears. Make the shared response plan more explicit. Write it down in a shared document that everyone can access during the actual conversation. Run the pre-mortem on video, not by message. The pre-mortem depends on reading hesitation, noticing anxiety, and inviting the quieter voices. Those signals do not travel through a chat thread. Keep cameras on. Give the pre-mortem the same weight you would give the conversation itself. Build in a back channel for the moment. Remote teams should agree on a private messaging thread they can use during the actual high-stakes call, not for casual commentary, but for real-time coordination. A short message like "I have this one" or "check with you after" can preserve team synergy in a way that no eye contact ever could across a screen. Allow extra time for the debrief. Remote debriefs tend to be shorter and more perfunctory than in-person ones. Resist that pull. Schedule a fixed 30 minutes and protect it. The learning that improves your next pre-mortem lives in those 30 minutes. The core process does not change for remote teams. The execution adapts. The goal, a team that moves as a coherent unit through high-pressure moments, stays exactly the same. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: running the pre-mortem only for external conversations and ignoring internal ones. Why it happens: teams assume high stakes means high profile, but avoiding difficult conversations inside the team is just as damaging. What to do instead? Apply the pre-mortem before any conversation where collective trust is at risk, including the hard exchanges that happen within the team itself. The mistake: letting the most confident voice define all the failure points. Why it happens: in most groups, one or two people will drive the conversation unless you actively create space for others. What to do instead? Go around the room explicitly and ask each person to name one failure point they are privately worried about. The quietest person often sees the clearest risk. The mistake: writing a shared response plan and never rehearsing it aloud. Why it happens? It feels unnecessary when the plan is already written down. What to do instead? Rehearse the top two scenarios out loud with the actual people involved. Reading a plan and executing it under pressure are entirely different skills. You need both. The mistake: skipping the debrief because the conversation went well. Why it happens: when things go right, teams exhale and move on. The debrief feels redundant. What to do instead? Debrief after every high-stakes conversation, successful or not. Success contains lessons too, and those lessons are the raw material for the confidence-competence loop. The mistake: treating the pre-mortem as a one-person preparation exercise rather than a team process. Why it happens: it is faster to run it alone. It is also far less effective. What to do instead? The pre-mortem only produces team synergy when it is built by the team together. Preparation done in isolation cannot create shared confidence. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. Identify the specific high-stakes conversation this pre-mortem is preparing for. Confirmed all team members who will be in the room are part of the preparation. Name the ideal outcome and the failure outcome in a single sentence each. Listed a minimum of 6 specific failure points without dismissing any as unlikely. Assessed each failure point for probability and impact. Then prioritize the top 3 or 4. Assigned a primary responder for each prioritized failure point. Written a short script for the 2 highest priority scenarios. Agreed on a recovery phrase and rehearsed the acknowledge, Correct. Move on sequence. Discuss nonverbal positioning and agreed on physical signals for in-room coordination. Scheduled a debrief within 24 hours of the actual conversation. Confirmed that every team member leaves the pre-mortem knowing the plan, not just hearing it. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a full process for running a conversation pre-mortem with your team before any high-stakes synergy moment. What you could not do before was turn private anxiety into shared preparation. Now you can. The conversation pre-mortem works because it transforms individual fear into collective readiness before the pressure arrives. Mapping failure points as a team reduces the unshared anxiety that silently fractures team synergy at the worst moments. Assessing likelihood and impact ensures your preparation energy goes where it will do the most good. A shared response plan means your team moves as a unit under pressure, not as individuals improvising alone. They acknowledge, correct, move on recovery process gives your team a script for bouncing back when something goes wrong anyway. Nonverbal alignment reinforces the verbal preparation and signals collective confidence to everyone in the room. The debrief closes the loop and makes each preparation cycle sharper than the last. For the fuller picture on how to structure the actual conversation that follows the pre-mortem, read how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy. If you want a complete pre-conversation framework to pair with this process, how to prepare for a high-stakes team conversation using the master method is the right next read. The full depth of the conversation pre-mortem, including all the scripts and confidence-building tools it connects to, is covered in Say It Right Every Time. Here is the truth of it. The teams that protect their conversation pre-mortem process are the ones that still have genuine team synergy when the pressure peaks. Frequently asked questions. What is a conversation pre-mortem for team synergy? A conversation pre-mortem is a structured preparation technique where team members identify what could go wrong in a high-stakes exchange before it happens. It reduces anticipatory anxiety, builds shared confidence, and protects the collective momentum that makes team synergy possible under pressure. How do you run a conversation pre-mortem with your team? Gather your team before the critical conversation, list the most likely failure points, assess how probable each one is, then create a specific plan for each scenario. The goal is not to predict every outcome, but to ensure no one enters a high-stakes moment unprepared or alone. When should a team use the conversation pre-mortem technique? Use it before any conversation, where the outcome affects the whole team, a difficult client meeting, an internal conflict escalation, a leadership presentation, or a project review where tensions are already running high. The higher the stakes, the more valuable the pre-mortem becomes. Why does team synergy break down during high-pressure conversations? Team synergy breaks down because pressure triggers the amygdala hijack, which narrows thinking and causes people to protect themselves instead of the team. Without shared preparation, each person reacts individually rather than as a unit, and the collective coherence that defines synergy collapses. How does the conversation pre-mortem build team confidence? It works through the confidence-competence loop when you prepare thoroughly for worst-case scenarios. You build genuine competence. That competence produces real confidence, not false bravado. Your team walks in knowing they have a plan for whatever arises, and that knowledge changes how they show up together. Can the conversation pre-mortem prevent all team synergy failures? No, and it was never designed to. It cannot eliminate uncertainty or guarantee a good outcome. What it does is reduce the number of avoidable failures, give your team a shared script for handling disruption, and make recovery faster when things do not go to plan. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.